This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Yes, you knew too much about flying saucers. Of course, that was the book that Gray Barker wrote in the 50s, probably the one and only totally serious book he ever wrote, but that's another story. Maxim Shurek with Gene and Tim. Let's go on with what you have to talk about, sir.
Yes, absolutely. So my book, Coal Region Hoodoo, Paranormal Tales from Inside the Pit, it's my latest book. It's published by Beyond the Fray. And what I did was, it's a continuation of some of the themes that I discovered at the Shepton mythology. So I go a little bit deeper, a little bit further into that. You know, I talk about Roman Catholic mysticism. And Coal Region Hoodoo is a blend of the paranormal, the scientific, you know, the spiritual. I blend it all together. I take a look at it through a sociological lens. And I believe it's unique. I think that you know, as far as I know, this is the first time or one of the few times that, you know, somebody has put all those elements together in one narrative. But the book has only been out for a little over a month, and we're getting some really good reviews, and I'm excited about this. You know, we have a number of events, you know, set up for Coal Region Hoodoo, and I'm excited because, again, there's an audience out there. There's an audience that hungers for this kind of information, and I was sort of caught by surprise with the Shepton mythology. And I didn't realize the fan base, you know, the people that support this thing. But with Shepton, the Myth, Miracle, and Music, I had been on numerous podcasts, and one of the interesting ones was Mysterious Universe from Australia, and they did a 90-minute piece on me and the Shepton book, and it was pretty interesting listening to these Australian guys with that thick Aussie accent, you know, cherry-picking through the book and talking about that. So I'm glad that, you know, the Shepton story is getting out and that people are hearing about it, and because it needs to be told. It just has so many paranormal elements to it.
What about the cultural aspect of that region at that time? Was this a heavy Roman Catholic area?
Yeah, it was. You have a whole lot. Well, first of all, it's the coal region. Mm-hmm. And this is where they had the anthracite coal. You know, the northeastern Pennsylvania drove the Industrial Revolution, you know, through anthracite coal. So, you know, there was more coal here than any place else. I was doing a presentation at one of the libraries in Wilkes-Barre on Shepton, and there was a guy there, an older guy. He had a legal pad, and he's taking notes. And during the intermission, I went over and introduced myself. And here he was, a guy from Poland. And he was recruited by the coal companies to come over to Pennsylvania, and they were told that the streets of America were paved in gold. So that was one of the reasons that he came over here, plus the freedom and the opportunity to work. The problem with that is a lot of those coal miners, a lot of them were Polish, Italian, you know, Slovak. They were the new immigrants coming over to the United States. And they became indentured servants. I mean, they could never get out of debt. You know, that Tennessee Ernie Ford song, 16 Tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. And they paid the company store. They paid them, you know, higher prices for the stuff, but they could never really get out of debt because of what they were making and all that. So there was a lot of poverty there. There was a lot of hardship. There were breaker boys. These were young kids, 12, 13, 14 years old, who were working down there in the mines. We just had a whole lot of stuff we were dealing with. A lot of these people were Roman Catholic or Greek Catholic, and all they had was, you know, they worked, and then on the weekends they would drink, they would go to church, and that was about it. I mean, they had a pretty they had a life of hardship. So the mining industry after the war started to dissipate, and then in the 50s, a lot of they couldn't get coal miners to go down there because the young kids, you know, the children of the coal miners refused to go down there. It was just too dangerous. You know, everybody had black lung and everybody was crippled up one way or the other. So it was just a really hard, it was arduous. And that's when Mother Jones stepped in, and she went down to West Virginia and organized. And those miners in West Virginia had it even worse than the miners in Pennsylvania. So Mother Jones was, you know, I know we're not, she's not the paranormal and she's not rock and roll, but she was a rock star in her own right and what she did, you know, as far as organizing. But that was the landscape for Pennsylvania. And, you know, there were a lot of superstitions, you know, there were, you know, a lot of things like that. And with coal region hoodoo, I use the term hoodoo as a term that could be both a blessing as well as a curse. And when you take a look at the miners, okay, Felon and Throne were rescued. They got the blessing. And then Louis Bova got the curse. They never found him. You know, some people thought he was cannibalized. I mean, to this day, some people still think he was cannibalized. We don't know what happened to the third miner. But then with Felon and Throne, who got the blessing, they also got the curse because they were celebrated as heroes. And then the people wanted to know, the townspeople from Shepton and Oneida wanted to know what happened to the third miner. And so there were these allegations of cannibalism. So they went from being heroes to being scapegoats. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of people thought that there was cannibalism involved. The Chicago Daily News had an article about cannibalism and the Shepton mine disaster. And they said that folklore said that the shortest guy in cases of cannibalism, the shortest guy would always get it. And in this case, it was Louis Bova, who, you know, may or may not have been cannibalized. But when Davy Fallon heard that, when he was asked that question by the Chicago Daily News, he said that only evil men would ask such a question. He goes, we never did that. It wasn't true, but the rumors, the horrible, unfounded rumors persisted in 63. And then in 1971, here's a pop song. Not only a pop song, but a pop song about cannibalism that seems to be about Shepton. And not only that, but it's the most successful and popular song in northeastern Pennsylvania. So those people from Shepton are getting piled on. And, you know, it's like karma. It's really getting rubbed into their faces. So, you know, it was just, you know, a tragedy. And it was amazing that they were able to actually rescue those guys after those 2 weeks.
Now, did the two surviving miners ever say anything about the third one, that, you know, he had been with them and then just disappeared, or did they just always say it was always just the two of them?
No, what happened was, and Tim, that's a great question. There was a mine cave, and what happened, it was on a Tuesday in August of 1963, and they sent down the buggy, they filled it up, and, you know, it was cool, send it back to the top. This guy, George Walker, was the foreman up there. So George tipped it, you know, dumped it, sent it back down so they could refill it. On the way down, that's when the mine cave-in came down. And like millions of tons of coal and rock and timbers came down on these guys. They had tiny little things called monkey shafts. So Felon and Throne were able to jump into a monkey shaft and save their lives. And that avalanche of coal and rock came down and separated them from Bova. Now, they claimed that they spoke to Louis Bova, the third miner, a couple of times. Bova said that he had broken his leg, and then after that, they lost contact with him. So, again, you know, these allegations of cannibalism just persist. They won't go away. It's just one of those things that, I know, it's just part of that Shepton mythology. And it starts with cannibalism. It starts with the song Timothy by the Boys. And then it goes to all the weird paranormal apparitions that they saw.
What is your take on it?
Well, after doing all the research, you know, I really think that what happened was that there was a cave-in that separated the miners from Louis Bova. I don't believe that there was any cannibalism. And I think that in a situation like this, and again, I wrote it from psychological terms. What would it be like to be in pure darkness with no hope of being extricated.
We'll extricate ourselves now. More to come with Maxim, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, so, Maxim, we're talking here about being in total darkness, almost like being in solitary confinement in prison.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah. So, a couple things. I talked about the symbiosis. In order to survive, I think Dave Fallon was mentoring the younger Hank Thrawn, telling him to, you know, keep your wits about you. It was maybe 52 degrees down there. It was cold. They would go and rub each other's back, you know, take turns doing that just to, you know, to survive. I don't think cannibalism was in the equation, because I think during times of that, I think that they were traumatized for days, you know, sucking in that coal dust, that despondency. I don't think the hunger pangs kicked in. You know, I just think that they were just so traumatized that that food was the last thing that they were even thinking about. So I don't think that happened on numerous counts. They were able to survive. And one reason that they did this, that was, I believe, that Felon, who he was a Roman Catholic, but he had studied Mahatma Gandhi, and he knew a technique to go and press your Adam's apple to suppress hunger and thirst. So he did that and taught Hank Thrawn that. He also had a mantra. It was dig, tap, pray. And again, he was a devout Roman Catholic, but they would dig. They had shovels. They would try to find a way to dig themselves out. They would tap. They would tap to let the rescue party, wherever they were, know where they were. So they would just have to send those vibrations. And then they would pray. So they would do that dig, tap, pray. And that became the mantra that they used. Every now and then there would be another rush, another cave-in. And so the configuration of that mine shaft that might have been as big as a football field, it would change. There were places where they had to crawl on their hands and knees. There were other places where they could stand, and they could bend over, and other places where they could actually stand and walk. But it kept on changing, and they were, deathly afraid of these, what they called the rushes, that more cave-ins would happen, because the mine still wasn't settled. You know, kept on changing. It's almost like a living thing. So that was the thing. But Johnny Bova, who is Louis Bova's son, Johnny believes that the possibility of his father being eaten exists. Every time he is interviewed by, you know, during these anniversaries, Shepton, he tells the local reporters that he believes that his dad may have been cannibalized. I interviewed him, and he told me the same thing. So he believes that, and, it's too bad. It's too bad. It's a sad, tragic situation, but something that happened in northeastern Pennsylvania. You know, it's interesting because a lot of people don't know about the Shepton mythology, and then a lot of people don't know about the Shepton rescue technique that saved so many people, you know, globally. And that's the one thing that I think fascinates me probably more than anything else, you know, the rescue technique information that a lot of people don't know about.
Well, there was a situation in, was it Colombia?
Chile.
Chile, yeah, where they use that technique to rescue the miners.
Exactly, and that was exactly the one. So in 2010, those 33 miners in Chile, the Chilean copper mine disaster, those 33 miners were rescued using Shepton rescue technology. Now, again, I've read numerous articles about the Chilean copper mine disaster. I saw the movie The 33, and they don't mention Shepton rescue technology, which, as a person from northeastern Pennsylvania, sort of upsets me that we never got a recognition with that. But there's an interesting story about those 33. There have been two books written about the Chilean copper mine disaster. Some of the stuff is similar to Shepton, in a sense. And what happened was they had some food. Every day the miners, the Chilean miners, would get a ration, a little bit of tuna fish, a little thimble of milk, and a cracker or two. So that was what they would get for the whole day. Now, the people in charge of these 33 realized that at a certain point they were going to run out of food. And this is in the books written about the mine disaster in Chile. They were running out of food. They realized that at some point they were going to run out of food. And the possibility of cannibalism reared its ugly head. And they said all the guys that were down there, and the 33, were from Chile, with the exception of one guy that was from Uruguay. And according to the book, the narrative in the book, they said that, well, if anybody's going to get it, it'll be the guy from Uruguay. So that was the dark humor there. Stories of cannibalism in mining disasters, stories of cannibalism anywhere. You know, it's every country, every culture has stories about cannibalism. Whether it's the Native Americans saying, or African tribes saying that by eating human flesh you'll get the strength and the valor and the courage of your enemy. You know, whether it's that or whatever the idea behind it. You know, the cannibalism is practiced in so many cultures throughout the world. Ugly. It's something that we don't like to consider and talk about, but it became front and center with the Shepton mining disaster. And again, something that I said just doesn't seem to want to go away.
Well, and you write quite a bit about cannibalism in your book. I mean, it's one of those subjects that fascinates people, yet at the same time repels them.
Exactly. It's almost like Jung's shadow self, you know, that part of ourself that we don't want the world to know about, you know, that evil part that, you know, you have your public self, and then you have your private self, and then you have that intimate personal self that has that shadow person, you know, the person that thinks and does things that may go against the norms of society, you know. So in my new book, Coal Region Hoodoo, I talk about, you know, what causes fear. I talk about fear in terms of Jung and Freud, and I go deep with this. I mean, you know, why do people watch horror movies? And in the book, and I hope we could switch between Shepton and Coal Region Hoodoo, but in Coal Region Hoodoo, I talk about Ed and Lorraine Warren, and I know some people are fans and some people aren't, and maybe that's just like Richard Sharp Shaver and Ray Palmer and a lot of other people, but or John Keel and whoever. But with Ed and Lorraine Warren, who I had a chance to interview and I became friends with them, you know, over the years, they have the Conjuring franchise. The Conjuring franchise was put together based on their exploits and their houses that they investigated. And there had been 7 motion pictures, you know, The Conjuring, Conjuring 2, Annabelle, you know, The Devil Made Me Do It, you know, all these things. 7 motion pictures, $2 billion worldwide, the second most successful horror franchise after Godzilla. So this is Hollywood jumping all over Ed and Lorraine Warren, whether it's Amityville or whether it's the Schmurl haunting up in northeastern Pennsylvania, that I have a chapter on that in Coal Region Hoodoo. But Ed and Lorraine Warren, you know, sort of own a part of this, you know, that paranormal realm.
We'll have more with Max and Gene and Tim. You're in
the podcast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. President Biden says talks about the debt ceiling are ongoing. Biden spoke briefly with reporters before boarding Air Force One after addressing Howard University's commencement. He added there are real discussions about a debt ceiling deal, but we're not there yet. Former President Trump canceled an outdoor rally in Iowa Saturday due to stormy weather. Both he and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis had scheduled separate events in the Hawkeye State. DeSantis spoke earlier at a GOP fundraiser in Cedar Rapids. He is reportedly set to officially enter the presidential race. At least one person is dead and 11 others injured after a tornado in southern Texas. The twister slammed the community of Laguna Heights early Saturday morning. This is Karen Sloan, USA News.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
This is V the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
Point of reference for longtime Paracast listeners, Lorraine Warren was a guest on our show on April 8th, 2007. Okay? In 2013, by the way, we had Richard Toronto to talk about Ray Palmer and Richard Shaver, and my first wife, Geneva, who was also a friend of Shaver's, was a guest on that particular show. So a lot of this stuff we have covered, but not the book that you have here about the Coal Region hoodoo and all the stuff that went around it. Are you familiar with a guy named Stan Gordon?
He's a good friend of mine, and Stan is in my book, and Stan is one of the experts. He's from Western Pennsylvania, but he's one of the experts on Bigfoot, UFOs, and the Kecksburg UFO crash of 1965. So I've been able to keep in touch with Stan over the years. We hung out last year at the Kecksburg UFO Festival. I'm going to be sharing the stage with Stan and a number of other folks on September the 20th in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, at the Bigfoot and Supernatural Expo. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, Stan is sort of the guru. He sort of has taken the paranormal into a little bit closer to the scientific, because he has all these reports of Bigfoot sightings, and a lot of these Bigfoot sightings are accompanied by UFO sightings. So it's just amazing. But Stan has been able to document this, you know, what they see, when they see it, you know, just amazing stuff. And he's, you know, I have his book right here, Silent Invasion, the Pennsylvania UFO Bigfoot Casebook by Stan Gordon. So, yeah, it's a good book. It has a lot of information on it.
One of the interesting things that Stan does is kind of creates a unified field theory And Steve Mara kind of was referring to that on last week's episode. He's the director and publisher of Phenomena Magazine in the UK. And okay. The issue here with Stan is that it sounds like a unified field theory where UFOs and Bigfoot have a similar basic cause. What do you think?
That's a good question. And when I first heard that, I thought, this is crazy. This is like Looney Tunes. But the more I researched it, the more it seems to be happening. And again, as what do we call ourselves? You know, researchers, academics, as students of the paranormal, I know we're trying to find answers. And there seems to be something there. The closest answer that I could find would be Albert Einstein's wormhole theory. And Einstein said way back in, I guess it was the 30s, that there were bridges or wormholes that connected time continuums. And he claimed that people from various dimensions could go from point A to point B through these wormholes. This interdimensional theory seems to be the one that is resonating with so many people. I see it, you know, all of the leading researchers, you know, talk about that. So that seems to be the one thing that is taking hold. When they talk about Bigfoot, they talk about Bigfoot either gliding or loping. They talk about bilocation, where you see this creature in front of you, then all of a sudden it's behind you, you know, that it shape shifts from one dimension to the other. The interesting thing, too, thousands of people seeing the same thing, and 6 to 8 to 10 foot hairy ape, eyes that don't reflect light, but they emit light, you know, something that glides, that may be accompanied by UFOs or other paranormal phenomenon that may happen to the witnesses of these events. So what does it mean? I don't know. You know, I spoke with Eric Altman. He's the president of the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Association. And, you know, we believe that after California and Washington State, and Arizona is not in this mix, but after those two states, Pennsylvania is allegedly number 3 as far as Bigfoot sightings and also UFO sightings. But one reason for that is that Bigfoot typically hangs out in woods and forests, like the black bears do, and not in the deserts or the mountains of Arizona. So, I mean, you know, from what we know about Bigfoot, there's certain habitats that Bigfoot covers. I had attended the Bigfoot conference in Ocala, Florida last month. And there were people that talked about that, you know, anthropologists that talked about it from a scientific standpoint. So pretty interesting. You know, we're still waiting to get more proof other than, you know, I mean, we have footprints, you know, we have plaster cast of footprints and we have the sightings. But it's an interesting thing, Gene. I mean, it's a great question. I mean, why that connection between Bigfoot and UFOs? And I don't know.
It's not just Bigfoot. I mean, Pennsylvania seems to be almost like a Disneyland for all kinds of cryptid creatures. I mean, you've got, you know, the winged weirdos and big cats and like the devil monkeys, all kinds of things.
Yeah, I have a chapter that, again, just to give an overview of Coal Region Hoodoo. Coal Region Hoodoo is an extension of the Shepton mythology. You know, I found an audience. I found people that were interested in this topic. So I decided to go a little bit deeper and wider and probe more. So with the Coal Region Hoodoo, I take a look at, you know, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I look at some of the motion pictures like Night of the Living Dead, like The Blob, and like the Philadelphia Experiment, because those were important to the Commonwealth, and those are important today. 2023 is the 80-year anniversary of the Philadelphia Experiment, and that was the experiment where allegedly a destroyer, the Eldridge, was teleported from Philadelphia to Norfolk and back. And then, of course, there was the sci-fi movie that took the story into another realm, but I was able to talk to people like Fred Tracy, and Fred was up in Derry, New Hampshire. I went up there. Remember, that was the Barney and Betty Hill territory from what was 1962, I guess. They were one of the first abductees, you know, on record. But Fred was up there in Derry, New Hampshire, and I was able to get information on the Philadelphia Experiment. The other one was The Blob. And that was based on something came down, some kind of a meteorite or something, and there was some kind of gooey substance that the police officers found, and there were some movie producers in the Philadelphia area that heard about it and wrote the movie, wrote the script that launched Steve McQueen as, you know, as a teen idol.
Do you remember, speak of music,
go ahead.
Do you remember the theme song for The Blob?
Give me a clue.
Beware of the blob, it creeps, it leaps.
Nope.
And you never heard the song?
It creeps.
Oh, no, I've heard it, but I don't recall the song. And usually I'm a guy that would remember stuff like that. So, but
the name of the group that had the hit record was the Five Blobs.
Okay.
This is what goes back 1958. Yep. Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door, and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob.
Yeah.
And you know who one of the writers of that song was?
No.
Okay. Burt Bacharach.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Obviously one of his early songs.
You know, I read his autobiography, and I don't recall that. I don't know if that was in there. But, you know, maybe that's like Rupert Holmes and Timothy. I mean, you know, although I think Rupert Holmes is probably pleased with Timothy and what it did for his career. It's pretty much launched his career, you know, the Pina Colada man. So, but part of Coleridge and Hoodoo, we have some popular culture. And I talk about Night of the Living Dead. That was released in 1968, and they shot that in Evans City, Pennsylvania. That's just north of Pittsburgh. So last year on our road trip from Kecksburg, you know, hanging out with Stan Gordon, we went up to Evans City, and the mayor of Evans City.
We'll continue with that trip, that voyage, with Maxim, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
After this, by the way, Maxim, I want to go back to the Philadelphia experiment, because I'll tell you a few stories about that, like my encounters with Charles Berlitz, who wrote the book about the Philadelphia experiment.
Yep.
Fascinating stuff. Let's go on to your little journey here with Stan Gordon.
Yeah, so after hanging out with Stan at the Kecksburg UFO Festival, we went up to Monroeville to the Night of the Living Dead Mall, and you know, they had have a museum there. And then we went up to Ebon City. So that's where they filmed Night of the Living Dead. It was released in 1968. And in my book, I take a look at this. I take a sociological look at this zombie movie. You know, it was George Romero's Night of the Living Dead. But I contend that it wasn't so much about zombies. It was about the state of America in 1968. Remember, this was the year that we had the Tet Offensive, the year that North Korea captured the Pueblo. This was when Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert Kennedy were assassinated, when we had the Palm Sunday riots. 100 cities were burned, were torched, you know, after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. So just all kinds of horrible things were happening in the U.S. of A. in 1968. And Night of the Living Dead represented that chaotic, uncertain time. Again, look at 1968 and look at 2003. I mean, you know, we have other issues, similar issues. You know, we're still dealing with with the chaos, the turmoil, you know, the uncertainty. Things don't change. I think the only thing that does change, whenever I do any of these presentations, I tell people just find your center, you know, find your strength and deal with it. You know, put tools in your toolkit to deal with the stress that comes and with the uncertainty. You know, we can't change what's happening out in the world, but we could change the way we look at it. And I'm a big proponent of you know, self-actualization and self-empowerment and all that. You know, I believe in meditating. Why I meditate, I have a practice, and I believe that everybody should do this. So anyway, 1968, Night of the Living Dead, and I kick off Co-Region Hoodoo with a chapter on Night of the Living Dead, and it sort of sets the stage for, you know, that feeling, horror, you know, Jack the Ripper, you know, blood, horror movies and all that. Why do we go down those dark alleyways? what is it about human beings that, you know, and Tim was asking that, I mean, you know, that we were sort of drawn to the aspect of cannibalism, but yet we were repulsed by it. So it's that yin yang thing, you know. I mean, you know, human beings are a fickle, funny lot, but
well, I mean, considering when Night of the Living Dead was made, and it was a very inexpensive film, shot, I think, originally on 16mm, I mean, it was very groundbreaking.
It was groundbreaking, and when you watch it today, I mean, watch the first 15 minutes of it. I mean, you know, the mood, the black and white, the car going up and down, going to the cemetery. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, Romero pulled it off. I mean, the camera shots are great. And then Johnny and his sister, Barbara, and then Johnny says, "They're coming to get you, Barbara." And then the zombie comes. I mean, it was a, you know, pretty classic movie. I mean, they got it right. And, you know, yeah, and they did it on the cheap, but it made all kinds of money, and it has all kinds of awards, and it's listed as one of the best, most significant movies of all time. So pretty amazing. And then it kicked off the whole genre of zombie movies and The Walking Dead and all of that. I mean, and ask yourself, what draws people to watch a series about zombies, you know, about flesh-eating zombies? I mean, why would we do that? And again, Timmy hit it on the head. You know, we're drawn to things like that. We're repulsed, but we're drawn to it. So it's like, you know, but you watch it and you're safe in your living room. You know that they're not going to get you. So you could go and watch it vicariously and know that they're not going to, you know, eat your flesh. So that's one reason why we're attracted to horror movies. You know, we there's a certain a feeling of safety, you know, in watching them. And I agree with that philosophy, that premise, with the exception of the Saw movies. I mean, man, I just don't like that, those Saw movies. I mean, they're just too graphic. I mean, just too, don't like somebody taking out my eyeball or, you know, whatever else they're doing. I mean, those Saw movies are just, I don't know if they're groundbreaking or what, but they're, they're tough to watch.
So now Gene was wanting to know more about the Philadelphia experience based on experiences that he had. But the section in your book about it, I mean, that's there was information in there with the guy that you interviewed that I don't think I'd ever run across before.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting. A lot of the Coal Region hoodoo is personal. And by that, you know, I had a chance to interview Ed and Lorraine Warren. In 1988, I believe, when they were on a 15-city tour of the book that they co-wrote called The Haunted, you know, but the Schmuro Haunting. So I knew them. I was a patient of Dr. Frederick Santee. He was the White Witch. He was the high priest for the Coven of the Cata. And his coven was ordained by Sybil Shepherd. Or Sybil Lake. And but with the Philadelphia experiment, my cousin Jim Furick was a medic, and he was living up in Derry, New Hampshire, and he met this guy, Fred Tracy, you know, through the VA. And he told me about Fred, and he said that and Jim knew that I had an interest in the paranormal, and he said that Fred was involved in the Philadelphia experiment. So I called him up and talked to him a couple of times, and then I drove up to Derry, New Hampshire, and interviewed him. And the story was, Fred Tracy was served aboard the Antietam. It was an aircraft carrier. And they did a similar experiment with his aircraft carrier. There was a procedure called degaussing. And during World War II, there were these German bombs that were at the bottom of the ocean. And when the ships, American and English ships, would go over that, the magnetic current from the ship would lock in with the bomb at the bottom, and the bomb would explode. So the Great Britain figured out a way to degauss, and gauss was the level of magnetism that the ship would emit. They found a way to degauss these ships, so they would wrap coils and then sort of electrify the ships, and it would make them invisible to these German bombs. So as the Philadelphia experiment mythology goes, you know, this was a top secret experiment that went awry. And when the ship was teleported to Norfolk, when on the way back, men were fused into the bulkheads, men died, men went insane, government cover-up, and all this stuff. Fred Tracy, my contact from New Hampshire, he was aboard the Antietam, and he said that the men experienced all kinds of bizarre things, hair loss, and almost like radiation sickness. So there was they had effects of that. He said that Admiral Forrestal came aboard the Antietam and admitted, gave them information about the Philadelphia experiment. And that took place, I believe it was in 41 or 43, and said that that it actually happened. And Fred Tracy told me about that. So there were several things that Fred Tracy was able to go and elaborate on, you know, that added to the Philadelphia experiment. I was able to talk to, let's say I was able to track down William Moore, Stanton Friedman. I'm trying to think some of the people that I got a letter from the United States military, the Archives Department, claiming that the Philadelphia experiment was just a hoax, you know, a practical joke that went awry. And that was their excuse, but I still have that. And as a former Navy guy, you know, Vietnam era Navy guy, you know, I really followed the Philadelphia experiment with a passion.
Now, I wanted to tell you a few things that I had going here. Of course, I knew Gray Barker, who was one of the people who followed the Philadelphia experiment, and he reprinted the annotated edition of the case for the UFO by M.K. Jessup. That's the one where Carl Allen or Carlos Allende.
Yes, from New Kensington.
Under different names, and what you can tell me about that guy, under different names inserted all these crazy comments, and then the U.S. Navy printed a special spiral-bound edition of the book, which existed, by the way, because I had a copy that Gray Barker had published, and that copy I loaned to Charles Berlitz before he wrote his book, The Philadelphia Experiment. More to come with Maxim, Gene, and Tim. You're in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.